Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. Amen, amen. Can we give our worship team just a big thank you for leading us so well today? Again, thank you guys for being here with us today. Hey, would you mind turning those lights off on behind your head? Thank you. Thank you. You're the new light person from this moment on, okay? I'm excited for today. You know, the month of July, we kind of go to one service and we give our volunteer teams. Our volunteer teams work so hard, coming in, setting up, and our kids team back there working hard. And so we just give a little break during the month of July, and we have this one service. And I'll remind you again, so next week we go back to normal, okay? 9 and 10:30, all right? So those of you that have been showing up at 9 and you're like, dang, we're here early. All right, next week, come back at 9. And we'll be fine. 9 and 10:30 beginning next week. But today, as we kind of wrap up our summer, we have a very special guest, a very special, special friend of mine. Back in 2006, Shira and I moved to Knoxville, Tennessee, and became a middle school youth pastor at that time, and I was coaching basketball. And this little kid comes up to me, and he hands me a CD, and he says, y'all know what a CD is, students? You know that? He hands me a CD and he says, "Coach Bobby, can this be our pregame playlist?" And I was like, "Well, what's on there?" And he hands it to me, and on the CD, you know, it was like a burnt CD where you can write on it. It says Eminem, Tupac, Biggie, and I was looking. It was a Christian school, by the way, and I'm like, "Man, you know, I don't think we're going to be able to play that before our games here at Grace Christian Academy." So we didn't play those, but that is one of my finest memories. Landon Reynolds is going to be our speaker today, and Landon holds a very, very special place in my heart. Landon was in our youth group, as I mentioned, from sixth grade on up through. And Landon knew from an early age as a teenager that God called him to plant a church. And for the last, I don't know, 10 years now or longer, he's been working in a few churches. And just in the last year, God has called him to finally step out and plant that church. So he's going to come tell you a little bit more about that here in a second. But let me tell you just a couple quick things. When I think about Landon Reynolds, there's a few things I think about. And I want you guys to know some of this so you can get a little bit of context this morning. One is white chicken chili. Anybody like white chicken chili? Any of you guys like that? Okay. We went camping, and Shira and I got a recipe from some friends to make white chicken chili, and we had students over at our house all the time. Every time we had white chicken chili, Landon was in our house, all right? So this man loves some white chicken chili. Second is the NBA Finals, all right? The NBA Finals. Landon and there's a group of boys, grown men now with kids and married, but every year, NBA Finals, my basement, Landon was there, and we watched, and we had a great, great time. And the thing that I love most about Landon, those are just kind of fun memories, but Landon is actually a black belt in karate, right? Black belt in karate. So I truly believe he is like a ninja for Jesus, all right? He's like a warrior for Jesus. And you guys are going to see it. He's going to have a lot of energy. The dude can preach, all right? But he can't stay. He's going back to Knoxville. So, all right, y'all don't try to get him to stay and replace me. But I promise you're going to love Landon. So if you would, let's give Landon Reynolds just a big City Hope welcome today.
Just a correction. I am way too young for Tupac, okay? So, man, I feel a little insulted there. And I will stay. If somebody has a nice house and on Hilton Head, I might stay. I'm so grateful to be with you guys here this morning. You know, I love being here at City Hope Church, but more importantly, I do love your pastor. I love Shira, and like they said, I was in their youth group, but more importantly, I was in their home, and I was a part of their life, and that means so much to me. So before I go any further, I was a youth pastor for 7-8 years, and after serving this group of students for 8 years, it was my last day serving with them. And I think 3 kids told me thank you. So don't forget to thank your pastor for how they pour into your life. So that was a little depressing. But I decided I definitely want to thank you guys. thank you guys for, thank you, Bobby, for sitting down on a youth room couch and playing Xbox. Thank you for letting all of us middle school boys, actually, thank you for not punching us middle school boys too hard when we tried to flirt with your wife, okay? Thank you for that. Thank you for being authentic with us always. Thank you for giving me my first real opportunity to preach at a church when I was 16. Thank you for feeding me when you didn't have much. White chicken chili, yeah, absolutely. Giving up your weekends to watch the NBA. Picking up the phone at midnight when I would call. And showing me firsthand what it looked like to love my wife, love my kids, love ministry. Thank you for Shira for keeping me away from the wrong girls, okay? And thank you for doing our premarital counseling when I found the right girl. And thank you for the endless days at that church in Carnes that sometimes seemed confusing, useless, and infuriating, but awesome all at the same time. Because if it wasn't for those years, I'm not standing here. So I love you guys. It's everything in me. So thank your pastor for a moment and give me a second. So when I first met Bobby, okay, this is what I looked like when I first met Bobby. I got a picture. I played middle school football here, okay? There you go. I had the swoop. This was in the Justin Bieber days. And so I had really, really good hair. And this was Bobby when I met Bobby here. You may be thinking, did he have hair back then? No, he did not. I did not know him that long ago. You can get off that picture now. go back to the first one. This was me in middle school when I met Pastor Bobby, and he was always a different character on the youth group nights. He was the best youth pastor in the world. But when I was in youth group, when I was in seventh grade, I wasn't really involved in church or anything. He was my basketball coach, so I remembered. I was like, okay, I can go hang out, you know, my coach on, that's cool. He would invite me. But there was this girl who invited me. Now, I played middle school football, I played basketball. I was the type of guy who, they would say he had hustle, okay? Now, that's like when a girl meets a guy and you're like, is he cute? And he's like, he's got good personality. I had a good personality when it came to sports, okay? There was this girl, she was a cheerleader, and she invited me to go to church with her, to go to youth group on Wednesday night. This was her. She was the middle school cheerleader. And so I was like, yeah, I'll go to church with you. Absolutely. Like, I'll lay hands, speak in tongues, whatever you want to do. Okay. I will go to youth group with you on a Wednesday night. And here's the thing, you know, as a middle school boy, we dated, and like 3 days. It was really important. But then she broke up with me. Now, she was my neighbor. She broke up with me. And not only did she break up with me and break my heart, she broke up with me for another guy on the football team. Yeah, yeah. And not only did she break up with me for another guy on the football team, she broke up with me with the guy who was competing for the same starting position as me. He had a little bit better than just a good personality, I guess. She broke up with me, and it was sad. But, you know, I am a pretty tenacious guy, and I don't give up. And so 5 years later, 5 or 6 years later, we got engaged, and this is our family in the next picture here. And so this is our crew. So this is my wife, Leanna, and we've been married coming up this year 10 years. And then we have my oldest daughter, Nora, and my second, my middle child, Charleston. And then we have my youngest son who just celebrated his second birthday, Roman. And he is pretty, pretty incredible. And y'all, I love my family. I wish they were here with us this weekend. I love my wife, and I love my family. But you know, growing up, and I remember like the first time I told, you remember the first time you told your spouse that you loved them? It's like should have been a big deal. I remember the first time I told Leanna that I loved her. We had been dating about, I think, maybe a year or so, and it was really one of the first girls I ever told, hey, I love you. And then, you know, when we got married and she walked down the aisle for the first time, like my whole definition of love changed. And it completely changed. I loved her so much more. And then we get a few years into marriage, and we walk through some hard stuff. and I realized how much more I loved her. And then we had our first kid, and I just realized that this love that I once had just began to grow and grow and grow. And now we're 10 years into it. And that definition of love that I had when I first met her when I was an eighth grade student, like, has completely changed in my mind. And here's the thing about love. Is we use love to, you know, you could have told me, man, you know, you say you're going to love your girlfriend now, and you have no idea what it's going to be like 10 years down the road. And you could tell me, for those of you who've been married 40, 50 years, you have no idea what love's going to be like. And that's completely true, but here's the thing. Until you experience it, it's completely, like, until you experience it, you can't explain it, right? For example, I mean, you think about this. We know there's a difference between knowing about something and experiencing something. So think about trying to explain to somebody what it feels like to go on a roller coaster for the first time. Think about trying to explain to somebody who's never been on the coast what it feels like to feel the rip current pull you. I mean, think about, like, I don't know if you have, we in Tennessee, we have cliffs that we can jump off into the lake. And we got a lot of mountains. And so think about, like, that moment where you jump and you do something, you feel that pit in your stomach. Like, you can't explain that to somebody accurately until you just get up there and go and do it. And see, that's why I love your mission statement as a church. And honestly, I love watching it even develop from, like, being in student ministry in Bobby and Shira's ministry, because it's really the same heartbeat. And I love your mission statement as a church, that you're inviting everyday people not to know, not just intellectually assent to some principles, but it's to experience the hope in Jesus found in every way. So today, my assignment is I want to talk to you just a little bit about what it means to experience Him. Now, here's the thing. I don't know what your theological or your church background is, but I know most of it here in the evangelical Bible Belt South. I know most of us talk, you know, we know a lot about experiencing Jesus, experiencing the cross, experiencing the gospel. And I think that's so very, very important. Maybe you have more of a charismatic background, or maybe you grew up in a church tradition where you talked a lot about the Holy Ghost. You talked about a lot about the Holy Spirit. And, you know, there's some church traditions where that is a really prevalent thing, and I think that is great. But I think there's a lot of times we talk a lot about, hey, we want to experience Jesus, or we want to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we don't always talk about experiencing the Father. The Father. And so today I want to speak to you not just on experiencing Jesus or experiencing the Holy Spirit, but specifically I want to help you get a framework for what it means to experience God, not just the Father, but God, your Father. Because here's the problem. Many of us have had an experience with a father, or no experience at all. And for a lot of us, the experience that we've had hasn't always been a good one. And in order for you to experience God the Father as your Father, you have to get to know Him as your Father. So who is the Father? Now, the Bible is basically an invitation to come in and experience God the Father's love. So I want to read to you this morning a little bit about who God our Father is. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. I'll give you a moment to get there. And give you a moment to turn to your Bibles as I reset my iPad. That is messing up. All right. Let's get there together. All right, so 1 John chapter 3. This is a invitation to experience God as our Father. Technical difficulties this morning. All righty. Here we go. All right, so there's a man named John, and he's writing to a really big church in a place called Ephesus. And he's writing Christians. Jesus has died and risen, and now he's encouraging the church to remember the love of God, and specifically remember the love of the Father. And here's what he says in verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. He says this: "See what kind of love the Father has given. Now, that word in the NIV, I'm going to be reading from the ESV translation this morning. That word in the NIV is lavished. We'll come back to that in a moment. He says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. And the second part of that verse says, the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Now, I love how John opens this chapter. He says, see what kind of love. In other words, he's inviting us in this morning. He's calling us closer. He's calling us out to taste and see, to encounter, to experience. He wants us to feel, touch, taste exactly what this kind of love that the Father has. Now, this is important because John doesn't just invite them to know something intellectually. He invites them in to experience it with our whole being. We are not just a brain. We are a body. We are a soul. And he wants all of us to experience all of him. And this is, and it's so important that we do this because he knows that his hearers have experienced some form of father before, some form of love before, some form of paternal and some sort of parent-type love, and he wants them to get a fresh experience with the Father whom he has lavished his love upon. Now, in the ESV, this word is given, but I think a better translation comes out of the NIV where it talks about lavish. Now, to lavish is this. It is to give something in generous or extravagant quantities. So he's saying this love is not just something I'm giving, it's something I'm lavishing. I'm going over the top. I'm going all in. It's extra. It's bougie. It's out there. It's varsity level. It is lavish. So it's not just here you go. It's here's more than you need for everything you could ever ask, everything you could ever imagine, everything you could ever dream. His love is lavished upon you. And the reason this love is so lavish to us is because we get to be called children of God. Now, who are we? Well, let's think about this. In the story, we're usually the disobedient, runaway children who's broken the Father's law over and over again. And he says that the world does not know us because it does not know him. And he's writing this because in this world, they hated Christians, and ultimately because it hated God. And it says this in verse 2. He says, beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be made like him. So yes, we are already God's children, but we're not fully perfect like him. But one day he will return, he will call us home, and we will appear like him because we shall see him as he is. But he is saying that because we are now God's children, we are called to be like him. Now, this is theologically what is known as the concept of adoption. Now, theologian Wayne Grudem puts adoption like this. Adoption is an act of God. Let's remember that. It's not something we can do. It's not something we can earn. It's not something we could ever be good enough to achieve. No matter how much you crush your goals, no matter how hard you run, you cannot be adopted into God's family unless God adopts you into his family. So adoption is an act of God where he makes us his family. And it's easy to, you know, in the South, it's easy to think, oh yeah, we're all children of God. We're all in the family of God. We're brothers and sisters. We're all God's children. Now, but we forget how eternity changing this is. You know, I hear people say that all the time. We're all God's children. Well, we're not, actually, until we've been adopted into his family. But the good news is that anybody can be adopted. Now, I love how one pastor describes this game-changing moment. Dr. John Piper, he says this, that God in eternity looked upon me, seeing my fallenness, and said, I want that man in my family. I will do anything to get that man in my family. In fact, I will pay for that man to be in my family with my own biological son's life. And he says that is mega off the charts love. And he is right. That is mega love. And here's the thing, experiencing that type of adoption from the Father should change everything about you, because he is not just God the Father anymore, he's God your Father. Your Father. Your Father. Now, here's where things get a little bit tricky. Because you can know about God the Father, but you and I often have trouble experiencing God as our Father. And see, often the number one thing keeping you, and I know this from experience, keeping you from truly experiencing the love of the Father was your earthly father. And no matter how great of a dad you had, I have a great father. He does not measure up to your heavenly father. And for many of us, we may have not had the best earthly father. Now, I know in a room this size, there's probably many of us whose parents have deceased and gone to be with the Lord, but I want to ask you a question. Think about even your family of origin for a moment, okay? Don't raise your hand or anything like that right now, but how many of you all have a family that is either divorced, a dad who's not in the picture or passed away at a young age, or your biological parents aren't married? If that's you, put your hand up in the air, because my hand's up. Okay, so many of us in the room, okay, including me, including your pastor, we all had different father wounds. See, every single person, even if dad is in the picture, has them. And every man or woman is marked by his or her father. We are products in so many ways of the parents that raised and made us. And you cannot experience God the Father until you learn to process your view of God due to God, your Father. I love how one pastor puts it. He says this. He says, your view of God tends to be a projection or a rejection of your earthly father. In other words, we can reject God because we think he's like our dad. Dad was mean. Dad was tough. Dad was always angry when I messed up. So we'll reject God thinking God the Father was like our father. Or we can project who our father is based upon what our dads down here are like on earth. So we think God is like our dad, so we don't come to him when we need him because we couldn't come to our dad when we needed him. And just think about this for a moment. How many worship songs do we hear about Jesus? We sing a lot of them. I think that's great. But how many worship songs do we sing about Jesus versus the Father? Why? Because I think, this is just me, I think most of the songs are written by people like you and I who are comfortable praising the sons because we are sons, but struggle to praise the Father because of our dads. I mean, how many times do you say, I love you, Jesus? How many times do you say, I love you, Father? Think about that. See, you and I are marked by our fathers, and many of us, as we saw, may not have a perfect relationship with our dads down here. And for men, this is hard for us. This is difficult for us. So I just want to ask you for a moment, what was your father like? Was he a good one? Was he present? Was he soft? Was he a hard man? Do you even know him? What was he like? Because often we view God up there the way we view our dad down here. See, maybe you had an absent father. The absent father. Maybe he died. He was in a car accident, or maybe he passed away from an illness or cancer. Maybe he died helping someone, and maybe you don't look at him angrily, or maybe you're even proud of him. Maybe he left you. Maybe he ran away when things got hard. Maybe you never knew him. Maybe you barely remember much about him, or maybe he's gone, or whether he's passed away or he left you, there's still a major part of your heart that's just empty that your father was made to be in. And he thought he left you, but he never knew how big of a space he left in your heart. Maybe you had an absent father. Maybe you had an awful father. Maybe your dad was just plain awful. This was my dad's dad. Maybe he'd cheat on your mom, beat your mom, abuse you, tell you nothing, always drunk, always making promises he'd never keep. He was an awful, horrible, and demonic man, and he made your life a living you know what because he was awful. Or maybe you had an angry father. That's the dad. Maybe he never hit you, but you always just kind of like walked around on eggshells anytime you're around him. He was always mad. He was never affectionate. He never said, I love you. He was always hard on you. He was hard on your siblings. He was hard on himself, and he was just a hard man, and it was hard to be his kid. And you played sports or you liked cars just to get his approval, and he was an angry man, and you'd do anything deep down just to get an attaboy. Maybe he had an apathetic father, meaning he was maybe just kind of a nice guy, kind of a lazy guy. Everyone liked him. He had no enemies. He was everybody's friend. He'd buy the beer for your friends. He'd let your sister date anyone. He was passive. He was spineless. He never knew how to stand up and fight for your family. But shoot, he was a fun guy. Or maybe you had an amazing father. Maybe he was tough, but he was also tender. But he loved Jesus. He loved your mama, and he loved you. See, each of these fathers mark us in some way. And if we're not careful, they will begin to shape the way we view God, the Father. And here's what I know. Few of us have an amazing earthly father. But all of us can have an amazing heavenly father. Because no matter what your dad is like, remember the truth that 1 John 3 says. He says that, beloved, we are God's children now. You have a dad. You are no longer fatherless. You have a home. You are no longer homeless. You are not an orphan. You have a table. There's food on it. You have something to fill that space in your heart that's been left. His name is Abba Father, and he is a better father than yours. Let me tell you why. Number one, because he's present and he's never absent. See, your dad might leave, but your father won't. See, God has made a promise to those who are his people that he will never leave them, he will never forsake them, he will never walk away from you. Even when you've walked away from him, he cannot walk away from you because it is in his very nature to stay. And number two, he's good and he's never awful. See, your dad might be awful, but God the Father is good. The Bible says that he's good in all his ways. Sure, it may not feel good in the moment, but even in his discipline, he is plotting for your joy. He doesn't want you just be happy. He wants to fill you up in him. He wants to bless you. Even when you hurt him, he will not hit you back. He's steady. He's calm. He's never reckless. He's good. And number three, he's kind and not angry at you. Your dad, he's always kind. His heart loves you. He's ready to talk. He wants to hear from you today. He approves of you today. He's proud of you. He will discipline you, but even his discipline is kindness. Now, he gets angry, but not at your sin, because he's a kind father. And number four, he's involved and not apathetic. So your dad might be a pushover, but your father, he will fight for you. He won't just let you do you. He'll get involved in the details of your life because he cares for you. He'll protect you when you need protected. His will is never passive. He cares more about your holiness and than your happiness, and he is not afraid to get involved. And number five, his grace is always amazing. He doesn't just welcome you back. He throws a party when you come home. He lavishes his love upon you. He doesn't grow cold towards you, even when you mess up. Time and time again, every time you come home is like the first time you come home. His grace is always amazing. That's who our Father is today. But listen, you cannot experience God the Father until you experience him as God your Father. Your Father. See, that's what Jesus did. That's what made his ministry so fruitful. Is he shows us what it looks like to walk around in perfect relationship with the Father. He's always talking about his Father. I'm doing my Father's will in my Father's house. He's constantly talking about his Father. The reason why, Jesus doesn't just do it on his own accord. He walks perfectly in his Father's will. Jesus shows us that there's a way to live life in a broken world while having a relationship with God the Father. And you know, here's the thing. Many of us walk around believing in Jesus, being saved by Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, but haven't experienced the love that the Father wants to lavish on you today. Several years back, I found myself physically sick, incredibly anxious, and extremely unhealthy, physically unhealthy as well. Growing up, I was never exceptional at anything. I was never really like great at sports or anything like that. But when I was 15 years old, God called me into ministry. God called me into ministry, and I went to a private Christian school, and we had, you know, a chapel service where you know students would lead. And I remember one day I got up to preach, and I preached for the first time. And after that, we had our school lunch. I get up to preach, and I go to the school lunch, and you know everybody said good job. But I walk into the lunchroom, never hitting a buzzer beater shot, never scoring the winning touchdown. And everybody in the lunchroom stands up and claps for me. Now, I loved the Lord. I really did. But for the first time, I felt like I was finally something. So fast forward, you know, a few years. I'm 20 years old. I'm 20 years old, and I get my first job in full-time ministry. I'm a student pastor. And in the first year, our ministry just kind of exploded in a good way. There was about 50 to 75 people there, and in a year, there were 300 plus there on a Wednesday night. I felt like I was the man. I was leading this growing ministry in this small city. People were getting saved every single week. I mean, it was such a cool season to be in. And everything was good until it wasn't. And when the attendance began to slip and there weren't that many salvations and we weren't the most popular thing to do on a Wednesday night, I realized that so much of my identity was built that day in that lunchroom. People clapped for me. This is my identity. This is who I am. And my identity was fully found in ministry. And when we stopped growing, I felt like a failure. And during that season, I competed. I used to fight professionally, and I'd been really active and athletic, and I hurt my Achilles tendon. And I had tendonitis in it, and got to where I could not get, I'm 25 years old, and I could not get down the stairs in the morning without help because my Achilles tendons were so locked up. I couldn't compete well. I couldn't do the things I always knew to do. So I began to overwork. I began to push harder, just keep grinding myself down. And honestly, through the stress and through work and trying to put this ministry of God on my back, how silly, my soul got sick. I began to get anxious. I would explode in anger. I tried to control everything. I gained 40 pounds. And all it would take is one comment, one email, one work notification to stress me out, and I'd begin physically throwing up for 48 hours. This would happen multiple times throughout the year. I remember sitting in my office, kind of hitting rock bottom. And I was sitting in my office, and I began to read 1 Peter 5:7, and I'd read it 1,000 times, probably. Grew up in church. It says this: cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Who cares? I know the Father cares. I see the whole world. It's still running. It's still spinning on its axis. I know the Father cares. I know the Holy Spirit's working. I know Jesus wants to save the world. But I admit that God, the Father, cares for me as God, my Father. Not just everybody's Father, but my Father. He loved me. He cared for me. And it was that day I really feel like there was a shift in my heart where I began to encounter and experience for the first time not just the love of Jesus, not just what it looked like to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, but to experience the lavish love of God, the Father, as my Father. And I just want to tell you today, no matter how successful you are, No matter how good you look, no matter how, if you win or lose, no matter if your portfolio is big or small, if you lead a growing ministry or not, before you are any of those, what I learned, and it's what you need to learn today, is that you, before any of those things, are a deeply loved son or daughter of God. So I want to tell you today, you ain't got to prove everything. God the Father loves you. You don't have to control everything. God the Father, God your Father loves you. You don't have to be anxious about anything. God your Father loves you. You don't have to be angry at everything. God your Father loves you. You don't have to be defined by that shame. God your Father loves you. You don't have to run back to that sin. God your Father loves you. You don't have to be so tired and worn out. Why? Because God your Father loves you. He's not just God the Father. He is God your Father. Your dad up there can be your dad down here showing you what it looks like to live in this broken world. And when we understand that we have a God in heaven who loves us, who's proud of us, who made us in his image, we then at that point in time and only then can we begin to change and allow others to experience God in the world around us. So, hard left turn here. You ready? Greatest Disney movie of all time. What is it? Yell it out, all right? Lion King, she said it, all right? She saw my notes prior, I believe. All right? Yeah, I did. I told you, okay? She's coming up to do the music at the end. I'm a child of the 90s, okay? I was born in the late 1900s, okay? And my favorite old movie is Jurassic Park, so let that sink in for a moment. But the greatest Disney movie of all time, in my humble but correct opinion, is The Lion King, okay? Now, as we know, The Lion King is not a story just about lions. It is about a story about a father and son, okay? And so one of my favorite parts of The Lion King is you have Mufasa, and, you know, just like Genesis, you know, just like Genesis 3, he's like, you have all of the world, everything the light touches is yours. And he says, but don't go to the elephant graveyard. So there's young Simba, he's trying to impress his girl Nala, and he's like, hey, you wanna go out there to the elephant graveyard? And so they go out to the elephant graveyard, the elephant boneyard, and they're kind of messing around, you know, seeing all the sights, being on edge. And then all of a sudden the hyenas come in, okay? The hyenas come in, and so, you know, little young Simba there, Mufasa's gone, he's nowhere to be seen. Young Simba, he's trying to protect his girl Nala. And they're going to get backed up into a corner there, and the hyenas are about to come in and take down the young new king who just quickly anointed king. And so they're backed up into this corner, and you see kind of Nala kind of stands behind Simba, and Simba, you know, he takes a big breath, and he's like, meow! It's like a little cat. Okay, now social media person, please do not get that on film this morning, okay? All right? This is so embarrassing, okay? But it's pretty good, I think. And so, again, he gets backed up into the corner. He gets backed into the corner, and the hyenas start to laugh at him. And they're like, I bet he doesn't even have his roar yet. And they all start laughing. Ha, 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 ha. And he kind of looks at his girl back here, and he takes a big breath, and he's like, maybe you guys can help me on this one. I don't know. Like, rah! And they're all just laughing at him. And then the third time, he knows everything's about to cave in on him. He's about to die. Nala gets behind him. And finally, he takes his deepest breath. And all of a sudden, he opens his mouth. And Mufasa begins to roar in his place. His father steps in. And we wonder why Satan is kicking the crap out of Christians. Because we don't have a relationship with our dad to back us up. See, Satan will run you over. He will kick your teeth in. And unless you open your mouth and let your father roar. See, your father loves you. Your father cares for you. Your father is better than your dad. And your father wants a relationship with you. We just got to step back and let him in. See, but in order to do that, you got to come home. Because here's what I know. Sin separates you from your father. Sin separates you from the Father. But Jesus brings you back home to Him. You see, it's just like the prodigal son story. The man had left his father. He ran away. He broke his law. He spoiled his inheritance. And the parable is that we all can come back home and He will throw a party for us. He will restore relationship with you. See, Jesus didn't just die on the cross to make the world a better place. Jesus died on the cross so that we might have a relationship with God the Father, so that God the Father could become God our Father. But in order to have that relationship restored, you got to repent. You got to come to Him and say, God, I'm sorry for breaking your law. I'm sorry for running from you. I'm sorry for turning my back on you. Would you forgive me? And Jesus, because He died for you, because he took the real nails, He took the real spear through His side, the crown on His head, the crown of thorns on His head. He did all that so that you could be reconciled to the Father, because you can't have a relationship with God the Father unless your sins are forgiven. But Jesus dies on the cross so that your sins might be forgiven. And on the third day, He rose again, defeating death, defeating sin, defeating every demon in hell, so that you might experience Him. And so my question is, do you have a relationship with God the Father? Is He your Father? Because here's the thing, we're not all of the family of God here today, but we all can be. You can be adopted this morning. You can be adopted, and God the Father can be God your Father. So I want to invite you for just a moment to bow your head with me. If you say, Pastor Landon, you say, Pastor Landon, I don't know if I have a relationship with God. I was talking to my Uncle Johnny the other day. My Uncle Johnny, he was on his deathbed, and they asked me to call him. He was up in Maryland. I called him. I said, Johnny, do you know what tomorrow brings? He said, I don't. So when you die? He said, I don't know what tomorrow brings. I said, what would you like to know? You can know what tomorrow brings. You can know. Uncle Johnny said, no, thank you. He died and didn't go to be with the Lord. But here's the great thing. You're not on your deathbed today. Today's a day of mercy. Maybe you want to be restored in your relationship with God the Father, and you want to be saved. I want to invite you just to pray this with me. This prayer doesn't save you, but it's between you and God, and you just speak it to Him. You say, just pray this to Him. Say, God, dial Him up. Say, God, I know that You love me. Say, I know You sent Your Son, Jesus, to die on a cross for me. Come into my life so that I might live for You. Say this to Him. Say, I give Jesus all authority of my life today. Save me. If you prayed that prayer today, would you just take, with every head bowed, every eye closed for a moment, would you just take a moment and just look up at me? Just say, yeah, that was me. I see you. I see you. Praise God. I see you. Praise God. Just look, keep looking up at me. I want to talk to you for a moment. Anybody on this side? Praise God. Anybody else right here? Praise God. Praise God. Listen, just keep looking up at me if today was your day. I want to just tell you that this is not the finish line. This is your starting point. This is the day where your life is changed. And in a moment, Pastor Bobby's going to come up and he's going to share with you some instructions on how to follow up with that decision and begin to walk in that new power. Because listen, God the Father is now God your Father. Praise God. It's amazing. Praise God. It's amazing. I see you in the back. Praise God. That's amazing. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray a blessing over this, and then I want to tell you just a little bit about what's in the lobby, and then I'll turn it back over to Pastor Bobby. Father, we are so grateful that today was the day of salvation right here in Bluffton, God. God, we're so grateful that today is the day where you are changing eternities, Lord. That today is the day. You're not just God the Father for somebody, this ethereal concept, Lord, but you are God their Father. So God, may they experience a welcome entry into this family of God here at City Hope. God, may they be baptized. May they get on a path to grow. And God, would you use this church just like you used Bobby and Shira in my life to change many more lives so they might experience you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.